because of Bob Dylan, you dined with some of the members of the Beatles.
Well, it's a good story. I don't mind going down that path, but it isn't like I knew the Beatles, but I did a couple of evenings. We played six shows at a big place in London called Earl's Court. One of the shows, one of the last shows, George was there with Clapton. It's on this new release of Bob's. I don't listen to that stuff, but I'm all over, and it's got a whole CD devoted to Earl's Court. When I tell you about playing loud, when he pointed at me, I'm playing up a storm. When it first came out a few months ago, Charlene listened to it, and I can't stand to listen to it because I still have the feeling I'm not going to make it through, like a solo or something, going to blow it.
What's the name of this?
It's called Trouble No More, and there's different versions of it. The deluxe version has a movie that they made,
okay.
And I wasn't in the band at that time, from the first year when he really went gospel. And anyway, a lot of live recordings from that 1981 band, which was arguably one of the best bands in the world, even with me in it. Jim Keltner and Tim Drummond and the gospel singers, just a smoking band, and Bob was great. Sorry, folks, singing his ass off. People that say he can't sing, now he's older and he's on the never-ending tour, as he calls it. You lose your voice and your vocal cords suffer, and he just keeps doing it, but go back to this 1981 period and listen to those, and he is singing crazily great. I mean, it's just astonishing. So it's a venue so big that the buses and the crew and everybody is parked inside the buildings. In this case, unlike some places, our buses and then dressing rooms were trailer houses, mobile homes, inside this backstage of this arena. I'm the only one in the dressing room at this moment, and open the door, and it's George Harrison. And he's saying, well, who's playing lead guitar for you now? And he said, well, it's Steve Ripley. One of the times Sherman Halsey came to see me back in California, he said, I've just been to England, and punk rock's the deal. The punkers, or whatever he called them, all wearing leather jackets, and they have a lot of buttons. Everybody's wearing buttons. And he said, I brought you this button, and it was a Beatle button. It had the four Beatles on it, just a little button. He's handing me that button in my living room in California. The news comes over the TV that John Lennon has been shot. Boy, is it a coincidence. Okay, now skip ahead. Just a few months. So we're in England. I'm wearing my Beatle button on my Harley Davidson jacket. These stories are no good because I can't do George Harrison's accent. But Bob says, Steve Ripley, and then here he is. And he says, so what's all this then? And he points at the Beatle button. Flattered, and it was nice. One of the next nights, or maybe after the show that night, we go to Ray Cooper's house, who's the most famous percussionist from England. He plays with everybody. Quirky guy, great guy. His place is on the River Thames, and I mean the water is lapping up into his front porch. It was a party with, of course, Bob and a few of our band, and then Julian Lennon was there with his mom, Cynthia, and George and Eric. That's all great. Then the next day or two, somewhere in there, I think we'd finished with the Earl Court performances. Bob is going to spend the day at George's place at the famous castle kind of thing, Henley on Thames, it's called. It was an old school that he bought and started redoing, and I get the call to go. It's a dinner party. His wife's from California, and she's made a nice semi-Mexican casserole of some kind. I mean, it's all a blur, but it's Keltner. Jim Keltner is this drummer from Tulsa who got me the Bob Dylan gig and got me the Ry Cooder gig. You know, world's greatest drummer in some fashion, and he's on everybody's records. He's from Tulsa. For whatever reason, he's always helped me, and he was helping me then, and he's probably the reason I got to go. Tim Drummond, the bass player, legend, he was there. So it's Keltner and Drummond and me, I guess. Always felt bad about Freddie Tackett because he would have loved to go. But anyway, so I'm there, and it's George, and Clapton had come, and Ringo. We had our dinner. I know Ringo was sitting on my left. When I say it's hazy, it really is because it's unbelievable that that happened. I talked to Ringo, and I said, aren't you going to eat? No, I'm just going to watch you eat, he said, in his Ringo accent. I remember we talked about shoes. He said, I just got these shoes. They're wrestler shoes. I really like them. I don't know why that sticks in my mind, but There was some kind of no-sole, kind of soft shoe. It was a whole day, so we wandered all over the grounds. On one of George's records, probably All Things Must Pass, he's got a sign he had made that said, "Don't keep off the grass," and that's on his grounds. There's a song called Cracker Box Palace. There's a sign, Cracker Box Palace. I had my Canon 35mm, and I just propped it up places and took selfies, I guess. Decades before that was a term, with both those signs, and, you know, I love those pictures still. I set the camera on the ground looking up at George's house, and there's a picture of me and Keltner and Drummond in front of George's house. That picture is priceless to me, in front of the house and in front of the kitchen, where in the day at some point George is making us tea. And one of my favorite stories is he says to me, "Do you take milk with your tea?" And he sees the Oaky farm boy going, "I don't know what the answer is to that." He says, "Well, you'll want milk with this tea." And he didn't mean anything funny about it other than it was strong tea. He didn't wait for the answer. You know, they made tea in George's house, and he made tea for me, just me. That's pretty great. And then we had the dinner, and then we went up to his studio. So we did talk music at some point, and he played his latest thing that he was working on in his studio. The whole group is in the control room there, but I'm sitting at the console. I mean, I'm a recording engineer. I'm sitting at the console with Ringo. Again, I can't do the accents. And Ringo has a really severe accent. English, there's so many accents, and they all sound a little different from each other. And Ringo, as only Ringo could, asked me, "Do you know how to run this thing?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I guess I do. You know, it's what I do." He said, "I just don't understand it at all, basically." He said, "The only thing's important is what happens when the blokes," and you have to imagine the accent, but he did say blokes, which I'm so thankful that he did. "The only thing that matters is what happens when the blokes get in the room," meaning they get out in the big room and they start working with each other. "That's what's important, this knob twisting and all that stuff. I don't know anything about it." That's a great memory. The last George Beatle night cherished story I'll tell is that George is playing the music from his tape machines of a soundtrack for a movie called Time Bandits. He just started working with the Monty Python guys and famously became a not normal, but a film producer. Nothing else from lack of funds, but then he got into it. They needed help, and he'd helped them, and then he got into it. He had been a producer on this movie called Time Bandits, which is really great. If you've not seen that, it's a time travel kind of thing. There's a lot of little folks playing some characters, and he's written this music, but he hasn't done his vocals yet. Everybody's digging the music, but there's no vocals. So he says, "I want you to hear what this song does." To me, saying this now, I don't know that anybody in the room knew anything about it. So he sang to me in my ear, because it's pretty loud. George Harrison put his mouth 2 inches from my ear and sang me the lead vocal for this music that he had done, that the vocals hadn't been done yet. And the vocals are kind of nonsensical, like if you picked a outer space language or something. So they're nonsense syllables. Whatever it is. It don't mean anything, but it's sung with conviction. In some fashion, it doesn't get any better than that. For a farm boy, you know. I was a long ways from home then.
For a farm boy to connect with Dylan, George Harrison, Ringo Starr. What is it about you anyway?
Yeah. I sometimes wonder if it's a combination of God's hand and then me just wanting it so badly and stalking them, or just one thing leads to another. Keltner's a big part of it. But my other favorite, I forgot to say, we're walking around the grounds. And mainly, I'd have to say, George is showing Bob some stuff. Like there's some underground caverns or something. I didn't get to see that. George and Bob went off for a way. We're all walking around the grounds. I know I have a picture of, at one point, George is walking with Jim Keltner and his wife, Cynthia, and I took a picture, and he said, "Don't let this picture out, but if you just want it for your scrapbook, that's fine." I remember him giving me that speech. But we're all walking around, and I assume Bob sees that I'm a little gaga at the whole thing. He sees I'm in the middle of this circus, you know, and then this great, he says, "See, Steve, stick with me. Like, you know, I brought you here. This is what you get when you stick with me. You get to meet Beatles. Yeah. See, Steve, stick with me.
For the Beatles ever in the audience as you were playing with Dylan?
Any that one night, George and Clapton. We did a really bad version of Here Comes the Sun. I mean, it was pathetic. That's why I remember it being pathetic. But Bob don't care. He said, oh, Here Comes the Sun. Anybody know that one?
Oh, how funny.
Yeah. It's probably on these recordings. I don't know if it got released or not. I don't have a hankering to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, I wasn't singing. What do I care? I guess I do.